If your job involves any of those silent, smooth-running, automated scripts, the kind of invisible workhorses that manage infrastructure or deploy code, you might have had, well, a pretty big shock recently.
A seismic shock is probably a good way to put it.
Yeah, exactly. So today we are diving deep into a critical security update for Windows PowerShell 5.1. And honestly, this is one of the most disruptive operational changes to enterprise automation we've seen all year.
It really is.
We're going to be focusing specifically on these new mandatory security warnings that are popping up around the Invoke Web Request CMLLit. And these warnings, they're not just, suggestions. They are halting unattended scripts dead in their tracks.
Stopping them cold.
So our mission today is to cut through the noise, give you the shortcut to understand the really high-stakes RCE vulnerability that forced this change, and lay out, exactly what you need to do to fix it. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, and this is truly a security event that's just, it's masquerading as an operational catastrophe. To get the impact, you really have to appreciate how foundational Invoke Web Request is. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. It's the workhorse of Windows automation. It's a critical CMDLet used in scripts for downloading content, talking to APIs, running health checks. It is, quite simply, a cornerstone of modern IT.
And because it's everywhere, running silently in the background, the immediate problem for you listening right now is the reality of this KB5074204 update. If you've installed this patch, any script using Invoke Web Request to pull down web content, even totally benign content, is now potentially just paused indefinitely, waiting for a human to click a button.
Which is the last thing you want in automation.
Exactly. It's an emergency rewrite scenario for pretty much every IT team out there.
It forces a choice. You either accept the downtime and the chaos, or you rewrite. And that choice is being driven by a terrifying vulnerability.
Okay, let's get right to that, the root cause. Why did Microsoft push a change that they knew would break things in virtually every single Windows enterprise environment? What was the threat?
The threat is immense. I mean, this whole disruption stems directly from addressing CVE-2025-54100. Okay.
This is a high-severity remote code execution flaw, an RCE affecting PowerShell. And it's a class of vulnerability that's particularly dangerous because it doesn't need some complex social engineering scheme or, a novel exploit chain. It's more subtle.
Remote code execution. That's the phrase that makes security teams, wake up in a cold sweat. But wait, if I'm an admin and I already have, say, an EDR running, shouldn't that catch a malicious download before it can cause RCE? Is this happening before those tools can even see it?
That is a crucial question. And the answer is, yeah, potentially. The sophistication of this flaw is that it weaponizes the execution engine inside the legitimate PowerShell process itself.
Ah, okay.
The flaw specifically targets how Windows PowerShell 5.1 traditionally parsed HTML content that it downloaded with Invoke Web Request.
Let's talk mechanics then. What does full HTML parsing actually mean in this context?
So when a script fetches a web page without any specific safety guards, PowerShell 5.1 uses a method that basically tries to render the whole HTML document, sort of like how a web browser works.
Okay, I'm with you.
And if that downloaded content has embedded scripts in it, like JavaScript or other executable tags, the parsing engine could inadvertently just run them. It
Wow.
executes them right there within the context of the running PowerShell process.
So an attacker doesn't even need to drop a separate file or an executable. They just trick a legitimate automation script into downloading some malicious HTML from a compromised website, and the script itself executes the payload using its own trusted credentials.
Yeah.
That's an elegant, terrifying attack.
Exactly. And that's why the risk is just catastrophic in enterprise settings. These automation scripts are often running as high-privileged service accounts.
Right.
We're talking about scripts that might run with system-level access to deploy software, manage cloud resources, move sensitive data around. So an adversary exploiting this flaw gets instantaneous system-level access, lateral movement, data exfil, all from what looks like just another routine script doing its job.
The vulnerability rating really reflects that potential for just silent, widespread impact.
That perfectly explains why Microsoft chose disruption over delay. So let's talk about the user experience after the KB5074204 update. The script pauses. What's the immediate crisis control for the admin who sees this?
Well, the crisis is realizing that your critical deployment or your monitoring scripts have basically turned into zombies. They're alive, but they're stalled, just waiting for someone to do something.
Right.
So when the script hits Invoke Web Request on content that looks like HTML, you get a security confirmation prompt.
Right.
It states pretty clearly that web pages can contain scripts, and parsing them could trigger code execution.
So, okay, I'm the admin, my process is halted. What are my options there? And, which one doesn't immediately put my job at risk?
So there are pretty much three outcomes from that prompt. The first, and the safest default, is just pressing Enter or selecting No.
That cancels the operation completely. No execution. And crucially, the prompt itself suggests the solution. It tells you to rerun the command using the safer, disused basic parsing parameter.
It guides you to the right answer.
It does. Now, the second option is selecting yes. This is the high-risk
I'm
choice.
guessing.
Yeah. You're basically saying, I'm electing to use the old vulnerable parsing method, and I accept the RCE risk. You should only ever do that if you are 100% certain the source is trusted and you genuinely need the full document object model capabilities. For most automation, that's just unjustifiable.
And what about the people who use the common Linux style alias? Does this warning system apply to the curl command? I mean, so many people use that just out of habit.
It absolutely does. That's a great question. The security prompt covers curl because within PowerShell, curl is simply an alias.
Oh, okay.
It just calls the underlying invoke web request cmdlet. So Microsoft made sure that security blanket is comprehensive, no matter which syntax you prefer.
Okay, so we get the danger, we get the painful operational reality. Let's move past the fire drill and into the mass remediation. Administrators are looking at potentially thousands of scripts. They need a fix that can scale and doesn't break things. So what does this all mean for daily operations, and how do we get these systems running again safely?
The solution is the parameter the prompt gave us, proactively updating every single affected script to explicitly include use basic parsing. This
Oh.
is the core fix. This is how you get Windows PowerShell 5.1 automation running securely again.
Let's kick into that technical difference because this is the piece of knowledge people really need. Can you give us an analogy? What is PowerShell doing differently when that parameter is there, and why does that stop the RCE risk?
Okay, think of it this way. When you use the old default method, PowerShell is basically spinning up a little light-duty web browser engine inside the process.
Right.
It's trying to render the page, execute scripts, build the document object model, the DOM. All that complex processing is what opens the door to the RCE. But when you use Merit, use basic parsing, you're telling PowerShell something very different. You're saying, do not render this, do not execute anything, just download the raw data,
Just the text.
just the text or bytes. It treats the web content as completely inert, skipping that complex, vulnerable HTML parsing engine entirely.
That's a perfect way to frame it. So if I'm an admin downloading, say, JSON for configuration, or an XML manifest, or even just checking an HTTP response code, my script's output should look exactly the same as it did before.
Yeah, precisely. For the vast majority of automation tasks, retrieving files, fetching structured data like JSON, or just verifying a connection basic parsing gets you the identical content. It just retrieves the raw string that your script was expecting anyway without exposing the system to that HTML rendering risk. This is why it's now the recommended default.
So the only time you really run into trouble with use basic parsing is if your script was doing something really advanced, really specific, like web scraping,
Exactly.
where you needed to actually navigate the web page structure, the DOM, or interact with HTML elements.
Exactly right. Those specialized use cases are the only genuine exceptions. And for those, you might need to look at other libraries or, frankly, move to PowerShell 7, which handles this stuff with more architectural security. But for the immediate fix, across a whole enterprise, use basic parsing is the non-breaking fix for 99% of what you're doing.
Remediation is the short-term goal. But this whole incident really highlights a huge amount of technical debt across the industry. If one update means you have to sweep your entire script repository, we have to look at long-term stability. What's the strategic guidance here?
The strongest strategic guidance is to prioritize a full migration to PowerShell 7. While use basic parsing is a good fix for 5.1 right now, PowerShell 7 offers a secure by default environment that it eliminates this entire class of vulnerability moving forward.
But why isn't everyone already on PowerShell 7 then? I mean, we know legacy systems and, backward compatibility, those are real constraints.
They're very real constraints, but the incentive is the security architecture. In PowerShell 7, invoke web request uses basic parsing as the default behavior. Ah, so it's opt out, not opt in.
Exactly. You don't have to remember to opt into security with a parameter. The secure option is the standard. And that eliminates a huge vector for human error or misconfiguration, especially in high-pressure situations.
And beyond just the PowerShell version, This whole RCE incident is a massive signal that organizations need to govern their automation better. Let's talk broader strategy, especially since this flaw is tied directly to attackers living off the land abusing trusted tools. What's the foundational security checklist organizations need to implement now?
This should absolutely trigger a high-level governance review. The first, and maybe the most vital step, is script signing.
Right.
Because an attacker can abuse a legitimate, high-privileged script, you have to ensure that only authorized code can run. So you configure your execution policies to require digitally signed scripts. If a script gets modified, even by one character the signature breaks, it can't run. That creates a trust boundary.
Okay, that makes sense. Next, you have to double down on defending against these LaTeX techniques, and that's privilege management. Automation scripts have to follow the principle of minimum necessary permissions.
The blast radius.
You want the blast radius to be as small as possible if a script gets compromised. Use dedicated, restricted service accounts, not your high-privileged domain admin credentials. And if you really need elevation, use just-in-time or JIT access.
And since we're talking about scripts that are reaching out to the internet, input validation has to be non-negotiable.
Absolutely. That's number three. Input validation. You have to thoroughly validate all external input. That means checking URLs before you make the request, checking the response codes to make sure you got what you expected, and never, ever, ever use unvalidated user input to build a URL.
Right, because an attacker could just inject a malicious domain.
Exactly, or malicious parameters. Fourth is regular audits and inventory. You cannot govern what you don't know you have. Organizations need a comprehensive inventory of all their PowerShell scripts. They need to categorize them by privilege level and schedule periodic security reviews. For big environments, you should look at automated tools that can scan your script repos for dangerous functions or, you know, missing parameters like use basic parsing.
And finally, I assume logging.
Finally, logging and monitoring. This is your detective control. You have to enable deep PowerShell logging, specifically script block logging, module logging, and transcription. This captures exactly what your scripts are doing at runtime, and it gives you the visibility to spot suspicious patterns, like a legitimate process that suddenly starts making web requests it's never made before.
And those logs have to go somewhere.
Right. They're worthless unless they're feeding into your centralized SIM where someone is actually looking at them.
So to bring this all together for you listening, the key takeaways are that a high-severity RCE, CVE 2025-54100, forced Microsoft's hand. That's what created this new warning system in PowerShell 5.1 through the KD5074204 update. The non-negotiable, immediate fix is to get use basic parsing into your scripts to get them running safely again. And the long-term, strategic goal has to be moving to PowerShell 7 for its secure by default behavior.
And if you look at the bigger picture here, this entire episode is really a practical demonstration of zero trust principles in action.
How so?
Well, zero trust requires verifying every single access request and assuming breach, even from your internal tools. By requiring an explicit admin approval for a potentially dangerous operation like full HTML parsing, Microsoft is reinforcing that idea. Even your most trusted administrative tools have to be continuously validated.
That's a great point.
And this raises a really important strategic question for you to consider. If a single security update from Microsoft requires a massive organization-wide overhaul and review of thousands of your automated scripts, what does that say about the existing technical debt in your automation practices?
Oof, yeah.
The conversation really needs to shift from treating security as just an operational patch job to incorporating security by design right from the very first line of code. It's no longer about just fixing broken scripts. It's about properly governing your infrastructure.